swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads where bandits are. Catacombs and giant doors protect the chest that stores some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's ore. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls, Simon's Quest with Toe and Earl, rocket shoes to Everclue, Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. That dash is a hyphen. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues. Download it. Subscribe to it. Rate it. Review it. Head on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. Hop on over to X. That's where you can look for my control issues. That's the handle. You know, tweet at us. We tweet back. If tweeting is still what we're doing there. Lastly, check out Spotify, because your boys is on it. AMC, how you living?
Living well, A-Dub. Damn. Yeah, don't have much to say. I took off Monday and Tuesday of this coming week, so your boy's enjoying this long weekend that I have going on. Been getting in some gaming, hanging out with the kids. Got in a back to back workout, which is something that I haven't been able to do recently. By back to back, I mean back to back days.
I thought you meant like two workouts in one day.
Nah, I'm not doing that hell week. I don't think I could handle the whole week at this point.
I haven't done that in so long, and I keep like trying to motivate myself to like, come on, we can do the double again.
I'm at a point where like back to back days is like questionable, because like I feel so much pain like in my back, but didn't feel it today, so that was nice. I've been slowly trying to work that in so I can get in more workouts, but yeah, I was able to do it this weekend. So that was nice. Watched some TV shows. Didn't really do much else. A-Dub, how's your week been?
Oh, man, just kind of tired.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just finishing off work and, you know, getting on some gaming. You know, some things were happening over the past week, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, got in an uncharacteristically greater amount of gaming time. But other than that, you know, cleaning up one of my plants is growing. So that's reassuring. That's showing that, you know, even if it doesn't seem like something's happening, you know, you open your eyes and a major change has occurred. So you just got to stay consistent with your habits, your discipline and your routine, and you'll come out the other end a better person. Hopefully, maybe. I don't know. It's on you. Yeah, that's about it for me.
Yeah, how about gaming?
Watching shows. I tried to watch Oppenheimer. Sorry. I tried to watch Oppenheimer. I made it through like the first hour.
I got like another 2 hours ago.
I mean, they had my attention with Florence Pugh, and then I just passed out. So did that. I mean, you know, watched the latest episode of Ninja Kamui on HBO Max, And yeah, that remains entertaining. I think this was one of the better episodes that have been in the season, because it gives you that combat, but it also gives you that story. It's a nice meaty episode, so it has a decent duration on there. Trying to catch up with X-Men 97. I keep trying to watch the most recent episode and tired, man, dude. Just keep going to sleep. Got a haircut, walking around. I don't know. I'm starting to generally feel better. You know, just in general, walking outside, just like, you know what, it's pretty nice out here. Like maybe that's maturation and being able to appreciate the little things. I don't know, but things are feeling better.
It's awesome. Back to what I was just asking, how about them video games, A-Dub? Maybe that's the reason why you're starting to walk out in the world. It's looking a little brighter.
It just might be
a little shinier.
Just going through my typical live service rotation, Helldivers with my brother and his friend Matt, occasionally with Grimes, occasionally with all four of us together. Of course, getting that Overwatch in, got AMC on the team, still waiting for E-Single to pop up. He's been having network issues. So when he's playing, he's seeing people like sinking into the floor and like glitching all over the place. So it's just like, dang, dude, you gotta get your ping up. You gotta do something. He goes, I need my running partner out here, and I'm starting to notice the difference in the performance when you play this way. So, hopefully he gets that sorted out. I mean, maybe it's just a side effect of the traffic from the start of season 10. Now we have Venture, everybody. The character is unlocked for everyone at the start, whether you bought the battle pass or not. The battle pass has also been reworked. Like, you don't get a mythic skin out of the battle pass anymore, but you get enough currency to fully purchase an entire mythic skin from the mythic shop, which features multiple mythic skins, including past ones that you may not have gotten. I was pretty sure I had all of them, but I missed the, I forget what season it was, but there was like a robot Anna mythic skin that I thought was really cool, and I just didn't get that. So when I get my coins, of course I'm probably not going to buy that. I'm going to get the Mercy skin because that's the current one, and I want to stay current, and who knows, maybe I'll go back and buy the other one at some point. We'll see. But overall, just enjoying the game. People leaving a lot of games. I mean, I had a good one. I sent pictures to the Overwatch chat that we have, the Overwatch text chain. And basically, we come out the gate. We're on the attack. We're escorting the payload. Like, we're on that level, where it starts on the street in between those two big buildings, and the Widowmakers usually like to camp over across the street, looking down the alleyway. And it's usually a clusterfuck for like the first couple minutes. I immediately, somber by the way, immediately come out on top of the building, go over to the other building. Widowmaker's basically standing still, just trying to get a headshot, easy kills, and done. And then Mercy comes in, tries to revive her, hit her with the virus, get her before she hits the ground. Junkrat's coming out of the side where he was flanking, take him down. Widowmaker immediately leaves the game. And then the dude who was playing Junkrat started typing in the chat. He was like, "Oh, you a bitch, Sombra, you're not good. Is this your main?" And I was just like, "Nope, not my main." It's just quick play, dude. Like, had to ha it felt good to throw that back at somebody for a change, where they're getting upset because I'm whooping that ass, and it's like, why are you mad? It's quick play. And
Yeah, why you
yeah,
mad, bro?
so yeah, he was talking shit and then he left the game. So just out the gate, less than 60 seconds, made both of their DPS leave. Feel pretty accomplished. I was always wondering when it was gonna be that they would start talking shit to me when I start playing Sombra, because when my brother plays, like every other game, somebody is just trying to bring him down, trying to kick him while he's down. Like, if we lose, they're like, "Ah, L Sombra, oh, so sorry." And then when we win, it's like, "Oh, Sombra, you're punk." Oh, every time. And I was like, okay, so I'll know that I'm doing the thing when I start getting those messages. And I think I got it. I think I got her figured out. So I think it's time for me to be able to move on to another character. And I've also been working on my Winston. It's starting to come on in a more consistent pace, where it's like, I'll have a good game, and then I'll have a bad game, and then I'll have an okay game, another okay game, then a good game. Like, my Winston game is coming along. I'm enjoying it. I still think that, like, for what he's capable of, he's not very strong unless you're really out there hunting down the squishy, fast-moving enemies, because those are the easier targets. However, it's just, I don't know, it's just very easy to cut down a Winston unless he's playing extremely conservative and it's just in that back line, or that middle to the back. Using the shield, I always have a lot of success when I put the shield on the payload and let that move. So, I'm learning the ins and the outs. But yeah, Overwatch 2 continues to be dope. I played a little bit with Venture, and That kid's powerful. So it'll be interesting to see how they adjust the character after the first couple of weeks. But you know, it's annoying playing against him, and it's also pretty powerful playing as him. So, or him, her, I don't, non-binary, right? So I don't know the pronouns with that. They, them, there we go. So yeah, it's dope playing with them. They're awesome. So I'm looking forward to getting more adventure time. And what else? Gran Turismo 7, you know, the weekly, the what is it? The weekly challenges, those come back. And I usually just run through those in a day, but given that they're weekly, I think I'm gonna try to spread it out because that's a big draw for me to come back into it. However, when I'm done with it, I'm just like, now I'm just trying to figure out how to make money so I can get my next car. So, you know, I'm spacing that out. And then that'll allow me to get more rewards as I'm doing those because then I'll still have the daily reward. And yeah, just stacking my chips, building out my garage, tuning all these cars up, meeting all these challenges, playing races that I avoided and didn't have any interest in, and now I'm like killing them, switching to the wet tires when the rain comes out. Good stuff. Live service rotation. Haven't touched Diablo. See, I got those. Talked about Helldivers, Overwatch, Gran Turismo. I added a new one to the rotation, and this is coming off the heels of the release of the Fallout television series on Amazon Prime. I heard through the grapevine that there were free codes circulating for Fallout 76 on Xbox and PC, so I had my brother shoot that over to me. And for the first time, I got down with some Fallout 76. And it was refreshing in a manner because it's like all this time, more Fallout was just sitting right there waiting to be enjoyed. So I get to scratch that itch while I wait for the upgrade next week to Fallout 4. But at the same token, it's like it's the same, but it's different. I like the ways in which they mixed up the formula to make things better. Like you no longer have that, like those multi-level favorites menus on your D-pad. Instead, just the left D-pad switches between your two active weapons or your two equipped weapons. And that's just whatever you have equipped, whatever you had equipped last. And that's working for me. I've always been a fan of two-gun systems since Halo Combat Evolved. Like I feel like that really changed the game, made it feel more realistic, and made picking your loadout a bit more strategic because, you know, maybe you want two of the same kind of weapon. Maybe you want something that's long range, something that's short range. Maybe you want something that does big damage and something that does precise damage. So you get to mix all that up. And yeah, man, Fallout 76, it doesn't have the same like finish as Fallout 4 does, or just like a mainline Fallout 4. And I definitely attribute that to being a multiplayer live service game. However, it has solid performance. I mean, of course, I'm playing on a PS5, so it has solid performance. Like the frame rate is tight. It looks dated, but it looks modern and in some ways a little ahead in other respects. Like the draw distance is crazy. Granted, some pop in here and there, but like the rolling hills and the forest, just you can see them. They're clear and they're lush and there's mist and you know, you see the rain clouds overhead and you see rain or whatever putrid formula is coming out of there. You see it falling out of these clouds. You see enemies down below. You see people moving around. You hear gunfire. You see all these locations and landmarks. It's a very well realized Fallout experience. It's got story going on. I'm playing on a private map, so nobody's bothering me. I believe you have to pay for that. And they're doing a Fallout First free trial. And yeah, so playing on the private, it feels just like a single player Fallout experience. So
It does. Yeah,
for the time being, like when I
the microtransactions aren't all over
there is a shop, but
it.
I only know one way to get to the shop, and you have to go in the map. So you have to push the touchpad, then you have to push L1 to bring up the pause menu, then you have to scroll down to the shop and select it. So there's a bit of effort you have to put in to get to the
Oh, it's
shop
not
to
in
be
your face the
reminded of
entire
it.
time.
Nah, it's not in
It's
your face the
not sitting
entire
right there on your pit boy.
time. Little dollar sign on the screen all the time. Want to have more fun? Buy some shit. But something that did catch my eye was that there was a green free tag next to the shop. So I went to the shop and I looked in all the different categories, found everything that had a green free tag next to it, and acquired it. So I got a bunch of free content playing by myself. I'm sure that'll come to an end at some point, and then I'll be playing with other people. I played with people a little bit when I was on the when I was playing the Xbox version. So what happened is I had the Xbox version, but I think it was just like a free weekend because I came back on Monday to play the game and it was like, hey, you're gonna need Game Pass Core or something. And I was like, ah, we're done here. So I looked on the PlayStation store. The game was only like $7. So bought that and playing it on PlayStation, got my back buttons. Man, I was playing with the Xbox controller and I was like, I'm enjoying myself, but I could really use some back buttons on this. So I think I might be buying an Elite Core at some point to get ready for the deluge of Xbox games that's going to be coming soon. But yeah, man, Fallout 76, I'm having a good time. I have a renewed appreciation for the franchise due to the television show and seeing it portrayed in that live action format. So now it's like I'm even more so, like, you know me, you know how we are. We're scene painters, we paint realistically, like we handicap ourselves in ways to make the experience more challenging as well as more fulfilling to experience as well as watch. So I'm out there. And three super mutants just running at me for no reason. And I'm like, it's a little too early for y'all. But yeah, man, just acquire this moving from target to target, pulling out the machete, swinging on, backing up, throwing a grenade. It just comes back to you. And when you're doing this, like, yeah, this is Fallout through and through. So yeah, I'm taking that in small doses. I haven't really let myself get a long session. So yeah, taking that in small doses. I also got a new game that came out on the 16th, and that is the PlayStation version of Dave the Diver. And oh man, this game is something else. I think I've been texting you like ever since I got out of just like, yo, you need to play this, you need to get into this. I gotta find some way to get you to fast track your quote unquote dive into Dave the Diver, because I've always gotten an idea of what it is. I've always seen people talk about it highly, and but in everything everyone was saying and everything that I saw, I never had any idea it was as robust and multifaceted as it is, because the more I play it, it just continues to add new mechanics and just new things, new stuff for you to look after and maintain, and things that just add to the quality of what you're serving at the restaurant. And I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. And I'm concerned about upgrading my weapons and my suit and how much stuff I can carry. But then there's like, you gotta upgrade your recipes, AFC. You gotta upgrade your staff, AFC. You gotta change your decor around. It's like you have like I won't divulge too many details, but one thing is like you have a cell phone that's your hub for all the different kinds of things you can engage with in the game. Not everything, but just a bunch. And there's like a dozen icons on the phone. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'm sure all this has some kind of little content to it that's probably entertaining. As I'm going on, I think I've unlocked almost if not all the apps. And it's like, man, these are like, you have to engage with these. These help you out in such a profound way. Like I'm checking one app and it's like, oh, I need to go over here and fix this problem first. And then, oh, this isn't ready. Let me go dive. That'll be done when night falls. And oh, that I'm getting a phone call. Let me holler at this person. Oh, you can make something different. Okay, let me know what I need to bring you. Like, oh man, it's such a breath of fresh air. Again, no pun. I don't know how I do that, but it just keeps rolling. Dave the Diver is just amazing. I'm glad I finally got to it. I wish I got to it earlier, but I'm very much looking forward to the Godzilla Kaiju DLC. So that's been my weekend gaming. AMC, what have you been playing?
Yeah, I've been playing a couple games, played a little bit of Alive. Got started a new storyline with I only have two characters left, so I went with the Shinobi. He's like a ninja. I'm tasked with going to this manor, and I gotta either kill somebody or gotta steal something. I don't know. But what's dope about it is for this character storyline, I have the option. I can go in, just slash and grab, and it keeps track every time I kill somebody, or I could actually try to do the entire thing stealth. It's a very shinobi focus. So I've been obviously going, well, not obviously, but I've been trying to push through with stealth just to see if there's any type of difference in the ending or whatever, how it impacts the playthrough. And so I've been going through stealth, and that's been kind of fun because you're not fighting at all, so you're not leveling up. So whenever I accidentally ran into an enemy and I had to get into a fight, is usually later on in the mission or in the storyline, and so I just get my ass handed to me. I eventually did get to a point where I found these like lost spirits that were just out like in this, I guess, meditation worship area, we'll say. And I was able to fight them, and I was able to kill them, and I was able to get
Yes.
experience from them. And so I just went there, I just farmed the shit out of that. So that's clearly what the purpose of that area was for. So I went, farmed that, got stronger, pushed forward. It's pretty cool too, is once you get inside the main area, it's kind of like this maze of horrors or whatever, and you're trying to make your way to, I guess, the Shogun's room, and it's just one big ass maze. You can get like captured, imprisoned. You have to figure out a way to get out of your cell once you're in prison. Like, it's just so much going on. Once again, I still don't understand how this shit was just made back in the day, but it's absolutely incredible. So Live and Live Alive. Also put some work in, as you mentioned, with Overwatch 2. Yeah, it's really enjoying season 10. Jumped in, got the battle pass this time around. Enjoying how they're handling the mythics. I'll be using it to get Mercy. But yeah, I like the idea that, yeah, if I didn't say want the mythic character that was made available, I can go and buy an old one. And there's definitely a couple that I skipped over. My rule basically had been up to this point was I get a battle pass whenever they release a new character. And so I always missed out on whatever mythics were in the opposite battle pass. And so yeah, I can go back and get any of those now, which is kind of cool. So I like that setup as opposed to, you miss it and you lose your opportunity. So that's pretty cool. And yeah, Venture, haven't played with her, focus on support, but have played against her, and that ultimate is just out of control. It's when that shit, first of all, just learning her attacks is just one thing, because I, once again, haven't played with her, so I really don't know any of her attacks, but I feel them because all of a sudden I'm like, where's my health? And it's just Venture is just on my ass. She's coming through the ground. So you don't see her like a. Clearly, a lot of people like flanking with her and flanking support characters. Her attack is strong, and then if she gets that ultimate, it just sends a wave through the ground, and the damage with it is just devastating. So you have to be prepared to react the moment Venture strikes, because if you're not prepared, it's a problem. And so I like it because Venture is our already a formidable foe, and we haven't even come across like the really good ones. Like we're out there. There's a couple good Ventures that you'll come across that kill you, and you're like, damn it. And then there's a couple that you play with, and you're like, why haven't you figured out this character yet? Like, why are you wasting your time with me? So I think there's still a little bit of time for the entire community to catch up as far as like the quality of Venture characters that you can team up with. But it's getting there, and I'm liking the possibilities I've seen because definitely a great flank DPS character, and I'm interested to see how people get clever with like certain ways to come and attack with her. Loving what they've done with this character, loving what they've done with this season. Other game I've been playing, Super Mario Wonder, pushing through on Bowser's level. We beat the final special world level, got no reward for it. They're like, hey, you did them all. Good on you. I was like, all right. So my assumption is maybe once we beat Bowser, like beat the the main objective in the game, then it would have told us to go and complete out these special worlds, and then something would have then created a chain reaction and all that. So I'm hoping that once we beat Bowser, then it's gonna acknowledge that I did all the shit. And it's gonna be like, here's some other shit that you can enjoy as you play this new game plus. So yeah, doing that, enjoying all these last levels, giving Marissa and I very much a Rain Man vibes as far as just some of the level design and how it keeps you moving, and the timing of the platforming is in sync with the music and the characters and all that stuff. Like it's pretty cool, the level design that they have going on here. And yeah, we want another Rayman, but if we can get it in a Mario game, get those vibes, that itch scratched, then I'll take it. And I've been absolutely loving Super Mario Wonder. So yeah, I'm in a good place as far as gaming goes. Last night, I don't know what the fuck happened with Overwatch. I'm thinking just people are on their bullshit. But I feel like
Always somebody who didn't want to play. Like, what was that?
yeah, it's kind of weird. But yeah, I feel like the next time people are going to be serious. We're going to get all those. I feel like there was a spike with people jumping on for season 10. So, they're all going to get all their quits, and they're going to get their penalties. And after getting put in the doghouse enough times, they're going to quit the game because Blizzard's the worst. And then it'll be left with people who just want to play the game, and it'll be nice. But that's enough of that, Adub. We want to get into our skim topics of the week.
Topics of the week.
It's not that whole milk this week. It's that skim, not even 2%. Yeah,
Just that skin off
it's got watered down milk. Yeah.
the
Yeah.
top. Oh man, I'll do you one better, and I'll start it with a quick hit.
Yes.
This coming from IGN, Taylor Lyles reports, Fallout 4 is suddenly the best-selling game in Europe, and you can probably guess why. Yeah, so in case you haven't realized, Bethesda and Amazon have put out a television show, and it's about Fallout, and it's really good, and it's all available right now, so you can go watch it as much or as little as you want. And then you can form your own opinion. Maybe you'll get a renewed interest or a renewed appreciation of the Fallout franchise, and you'll want to dip back in. Apparently, they did so in Europe. It says Fallout 4, the post-apocalyptic wasteland action RPG from 2015, is gaining popularity, with sales in Europe jumping by over 7,500% in the last week. Spotted by GamesIndustry.biz, the outlet reported a massive spike in Fallout 4 series on the heels of the Prime Video release. Incredibly, the nearly 10-year-old game has jumped all the way to the top of the GSD charts, which tracks digital games across all of Europe and physical sales in the UK, France, Germany, Italy, and Spain. It now sits atop the weekly top 10, beating out Helldivers 2, EA Sports FC 24, and Grand Theft Auto 5. AMC, with the success of this show, with the renewed interest in the Fallout franchise of games, are you going to be getting back into the waste anytime soon?
I'm thinking about it. That 76 has me interested, especially
All
with
right,
the
oh, I got to get you up a private game.
yeah, when they first debuted it, and they had that new system. I know people were like, oh, just stick with the one. Why do you keep switching it up? Like they didn't like what they did with Fallout 4. Man, like with the Duo Fa 76. But yeah, when they had the card system in 76 and how you can like mine them and get the stars and all that shit, like I enjoyed it. I was having it, and I was very curious to see what that would be like and if that would be a system that would be a little more engaging for me, with Fallout. And so when they first announced this, that whole setup, I was super interested, just never got into it. And obviously there is issues with the T posing and all that stuff that was going on at the launch. So, I just kind of like just I stayed away from it, but it was on PS Plus 1 month and I saw it there and I was like, I could see myself totally playing Fallout 76 one day. So I added it to the library, which is, yeah, just a reminder for anybody. If there's a game that you could see yourself possibly playing down the line, why not just add it in? There's no harm to it. And so, yeah, added it there. Obviously, never got to it. Kept hearing about the updates, similar to New Ve not New Vegas, to No Man's Sky. You keep hearing about the support and the updates and people saying, "Hey, it's safe to come and test the waters again. Why don't you try it out, see what's going on?" And I was liking what they were hearing, what they were talking about. They would have their announcements every now and then at different events, Bethesda events. And yeah, I just liked what they had going on. Heard that they got the NPCs in there, which people really wanted. So it seems like they got the game to a really good place. And now that the game is super massively popular, it does, I can't help but feel like I might want to be another one of the just many folk who are like, "Hey, let's jump into this game and, see what's going on," since they have it going right. And people are loving these multiplayer versions of games that they enjoy. And so yeah, I definitely have an interest in jumping into Fallout 76 A-Dub.
Also, man, you were talking about that card system, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around it because I don't know, maybe I just wasn't paying attention when I was reading the pop-ups, or perhaps they didn't explain it completely, but I kind of don't get the cycle of, okay, level up, open a pack, look at my cards, then figure out which cards I want to use or combine, slot them in, maybe swap something out. And then to build on the card system, they also have cards that they're maxed out as soon as you get them. So there's no combining them or leveling up. And then you can get duplicates of that card, which you could then scrap. And then they have a legendary card system where once you start getting those, you can use the materials you scrapped from your duplicate or unwanted cards that you can use to modify your legendary cards. And I'm just like, okay, I'm just still trying to figure out how to, like, when can I expect to get packs, and what's the easiest way to combine cards? I've combined a few and increased my bonuses, and man, it's Fallout through and through. I'll tell you, man, you're doing stuff, or like a perk does something in the background, and like a little Vault Boy animation will pop up looking like the perk. Like I have the Scrounger one that gives you additional ammo when you're like looting containers. And then every time I come to a container that has the bonus loot, there he goes, popping up, digging through the box. I was like, what? This is great. And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to you getting on there. Just let me know when you do so I can see. But if you, I would say try it out with people out in the world, and I'll send you whatever I need to send you to get you in the private world. And then they share progress so you can go back and forth. So it's not like you're playing two separate games or anything like that. But yeah, man, yes. With the show, and then we heard that the show got renewed for a season two. So we already know where it's going. We already, ah, man, you gotta catch up, man. I need to spoil some shit.
Yes.
I'm feeling it. But yeah, Fallout is having its day. And yeah, just building on the show, like there was also some articles going
Hey,
around.
I got other stories. Let's not get into this. Yeah, we'll get into it in the
Oh,
next topic of
my
the week.
man. Yeah. Topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week. Let's take a quick break, A-Dub. We are back, A-Dub, with more Fallout shit. Fallout shit. Next topic of the week. Yeah, this is, as I said, it was a very slow week. So, as I was looking up stuff, a lot of it was Fallout related. So, I figured we either just do one big topic, we could break it up, but let's just keep it going. So this one from Games Radar: writing the success of Fallout TV show, Fallout 76 teases a hugely popular newly expanded map in its next update. Let's see. The Skyline Valley update for Fallout 76 is still going through the testing phases, and so Bethesda has opened up a public test realm for players to try out the update before it eventually goes live in full. Let's see. From the tweet from Bethesda Game Studios, the public test server for the Fallout 76 Skyline Valley update is available now. Explore the newly expanded map that takes you deep into the wooded heartland of Skyline Valley. Public test server for Skyline Valley update will happen in two parts. Part one launches this afternoon and will allow you to get acquainted with the new region, participate in public events, and take your claim on the land by placing down camps. The patch notes, let's see, I skipped that part. If you're eager to explore the brand new Fallout 76, you can get on this, yada, yada, yada. All right, that's all I'm going to say for this one. But A-Dub, what do you think about Fallout for Bethesda, Fallout 76, getting an update just in time for the hot success of Fallout 76? As you're playing it too, A-Dub.
To say that they don't know what they're doing is completely false. Because they obviously do know what they're doing. Yeah, man, come on. It's none of this stuff is coincidental. It all comes out when it's supposed to come out in rapid succession all around each other. Naughty Dog remaking The Last of Us Part 1, remastering The Last of Us 2, all on the heels of the television series, Fallout, getting all this renewed. And it goes hand in hand with the renewed interest. Like, just Spider-Man and The Last of Us and all these Fallouts. What was it? Even Suicide Squad sparked renewed interest in the Arkham series. You know, you can come up with your own reason for that. However, the fact still remains that people went back and played the Batman games and on the heels of the release of Suicide Squad. So, you know, Cyberpunk and Edge Runners, every time there's a new No Man's Sky update, just whenever the developers come back and touch something, or they give you something that's similar or around the universe that you already know and love so well, there's always that motivation to go back and just get another hit, chase that pink dragon one more time. So this is pretty cool. I'm completely unaware of the details of the evolution of 76, so I don't even know what really to expect from another expansion or addition of this nature. Like, I'm still wrapping my head around the size of the map as it is. So it's like, you know, to have another massive area added to that when I've barely seen a fraction of what it already has, like, that's just beyond the realm of thinking for me right now.
Yeah, the reason why, like, I thought about this story, at least, like, that was kind of funny to go through, because I know something that I've heard on, you know, other shows that I listened to, read in some articles, there was some questioning as far as the, you know, there's always general questioning of the developers and the publishers, and what are they doing? Why are they wasting their time? Yada, yada.
Why are they still supporting this?
Yeah. And so there was with 76, a lot of why are they still supporting this? Whenever there's like an event, and you know, I guess it would be a Bethesda event or Microsoft, and you know, well, you got some news about Fallout 76. Like, why are they still talking about why are they still supporting this? And you know, we already saw it with Sea of Thieves, just the continued support. And then now we're to a point where, like, people are excited for it to go cross-platform. And what,
most pre-ordered game on PlayStation Network?
Yeah, and then you see with 76, it's like they're continually working on this game, making it better. And people are questioning, why are you making it better? Why are you focusing on adding more content to this game still? And it's because you never know when people might get interested in going and playing this. And so, yeah, we see Fallout TV show comes out. People are super excited. All of a sudden, they're now interested in going into the world of 76. And there's all this new, fresh content that they've been just slowly working on. perfecting, getting better, and now it's available for this whole mass of people to come and explore in this world. Like I've been hearing a lot about, like, just, you know, the people who have been playing this game, and then when people go and, I guess, enter the world, like going and coming across like some of their camps that they've set up, and just how detailed that they've like been putting into this entire time. Like, it's one of the, you know, it's funny, people like hated on settlements in Fallout 4.
Oh, they still are.
Yeah, and they're excited about them though in 76, which is kind of hilarious. But so yeah, it's like one of those things that, yeah, it's like this is why you continue to support these games and get them to a good place. Like, and it's also why they're gonna keep supporting that, what was that vampire game? I forgot what it's called.
Vampire Survivors?
No, the one, the Bethesda one.
Redfall.
Redfall, yeah. That's the reason why they're gonna keep trying to fix Redfall.
You mean, like, Arcane Leo.
Yeah. It's because they have this Game Pass whole library set up, and you know, a year or so from now, maybe people decide, hey, I want to play a vampire multiplayer game, first person, and then they see this game and they're like, hey, I'm gonna try it out, and it's not a buggy mess, and maybe they like it. And so yeah,
they see that's that game with its 60 frames per second that got added in, they see it with its fixed AI and enemy density. They fix it, they see it after all the tender loving care.
Yeah,
and that's their first impression.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and that's why you continue to support those things. And so just another reminder, when people get impatient and they're like, you're wasting resources, just know that, you know, there are people who have been playing this game all this time. So one, they're rewarding those people who are continuing to support that game. And two, they're getting into a good place for, you know, you always, you know, the people who talk about like, not supporting this game, like discontinuing support, the same people who are all about like games preservation and preserving it for future generations. And what's a better way to preserve a game than to fix it and make it better, so that it's better for the people who come to it down the line, as opposed to the launch people. So yeah,
well, there's kind of double talk in that whole games preservation argument, because it's always, oh, we need to preserve every game. And then at the same token, games they don't like, they're like, this game needs to go away. Live service needs to go away. And then when live service games fail or they get delisted, it's like, see, this is why we need games preservation. Now nobody can ever play this again. It's like, you're cheering for both teams.
Yeah.
It's just just that whatever's convenient to get your way. Like, I know that's not everybody in the whole games preservation community. I know some people want everything preserved. I know there are some people who just want certain things preserved. I know there's also even a smaller subset of people who just, you know, wishy-washy with the wind according to what suits their agenda or their narrative at any point in time. But it's like, you know, y'all got to get a unified message if you want people to take you seriously. That's all I'm getting at.
You want to take the next topic?
Yeah, I'll take the next topic. I mean, I'm enjoying 76. I'm glad it's still here after all these years and I can enjoy it. Thank you to all the people who have been playing it and making sure that it remains successful. Let's get to that next topic of the week. Topic of the week. Going to do something a little different. We're going to give you those Xbox monthly games.
Oh, what?
Yeah, Microsoft, they announced their Xbox Game Pass April 2024 Wave 2 lineup. Oh, Jesus, this is a lot of games. So, they're getting Harold Halibut, which I've only heard of and never seen. I'm hearing good things about it. Looking at these images now, my man's got, they got kind of that Wes Anderson puppet kind of look to it. So, I don't know. It's okay. Next one, Orcs Must Die 3. I've seen a little bit of that. They got NHL 24. They got Aiden Chronicle 100 Heroes, which just got reviewed by IGN. So check that out. Might be out. Might be something you're into. This one, Another Crab's Treasure. So we've seen this game. This is that one where you're playing as the hermit crab, but it's a Souls-like. And you get stronger and you get better abilities as you get better shells. It looks it looks very similar to like what a like a high budget 3D SpongeBob might look like. However, it's crabs and it's undersea, but it's Souls-like. So the look doesn't quite match what's going on with the gameplay, but somehow they blend together perfectly. And I've had my eye on this for a bit. So hey, if you're on Xbox, might want to get that Game Pass lineup. They're also getting Manor Lords, and that looks like some kind of crazy real-time strategy, which knights coming over the hill in the grass, very Braveheartish. Have a nice death, and that looks like it's about it. AMC, any of those catch your attention? Something that you wish we get offered over here on the PlayStation Plus side?
Yeah, dude, I wish you had Harry the Halibut on the PlayStation Plus in the Souls-like crab game.
Yeah, definitely want the Souls-like crab game.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that that's going to do surprisingly well, and I don't think people are really expecting it to just come out and be successful. What if it charts? That would be good.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, it's just another Souls-like. So yeah, you got your Xbox, you got Game Pass. Look forward to those April 2024 games in the Wave 2 lineup. Let's get into the next topic of the week. Top topic of the week.
Yeah, we're skimming. Yeah. So we got an ESRB rating. Hey, Dev.
Wow.
This is by Eurogamer. Gorgeous action adventure. Kena: Bridge of Spirits has been rated for Xbox. Let's see, Kena Bridge of Spirits, the same shit they just said. Kena Bridge of Spirits, the gorgeous action adventure from developer Ember Lab, looks to be making a leap onto Xbox Series X and S, according to the newly spotted rating on the ESRB website. Kena Bridge of Spirits initially launched in 2021 amid various time exclusivity agreements Sony snapped up for the PlayStation 5 and PS4, so not truly next-gen games, while the Epic Game Store snagged exclusivity on PC. Kena released on Steam the following year, but an Xbox version is yet to be seen. Am I going to read any more of this? Nah. So, yeah, hey, Dev. So ESRB rating, Kena Bridge of Spirits possibly coming to Xbox. You think this is going to be a big get for the Xbox community for this game that they sorely missed out on when it was a timed exclusive on PlayStation?
I think they'll treat it as a big get. It's not really a big get. And like, this isn't
Final Fantasy, Ada.
Well, it's not to clown or it's not to make light of Kena Bridge of Spirits. I've heard it looks gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I've heard excellent things about it from the people that played it. I've heard stories of a difficulty spike or how the bosses are more challenging than the general gameplay lets on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always like it when games have that sort of like, now we're playing the game. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorite moments. So it's cool. More people will be able to enjoy the game. I believe it was, what was it, an indie studio or a third-party studio that made it, and Sony was just behind it. It's not like it's a first-party game, as if that matters, but whatever. It's, hey, more people get to play it, more people get to enjoy it. It gets additional success that may lead to a sequel or perhaps continued post-launch support, maybe some new content, maybe some new modes. Things that people can look forward to. So that's also, maybe it'll be in a future wave of the Game Pass lineup. So you can bet on that.
What else you got, Adub? Anything? Any other?
Next topic of the week. Nintendo came at us this week.
Oh.
With that indie showcase.
Yeah, they did.
So we both got these roundup articles in front of us. We can just talk about some things that caught our eye. Let me see. I feel like there's more stuff here than what they showed, because there's like this duck detective game, but I don't recall seeing that in the show. However, one that really caught my eye, and it caught my eye a while ago, but now it's finally coming out on the Switch and other platforms in July. This is Shim. And This is nearly 2 years after its initial announcement at Day of the Devs. Publisher Extra Nice has shared a new trailer along with confirmation that its platformer, Shim, will arrive on Switch in addition to PC, PlayStation, and Xbox on July 18th. Shim is the game. It's kind of an isometric camera angle. It's like grayscale visuals or like real monotone visuals with shading. And you're playing as this creature that lives in shadows, and it's a platformer in the way that you're jumping and moving through the shadows that are cast on the game world. So yeah, that's a very unique and interesting idea. Like, you, it's beautiful art style, and it's such a unique concept. Like, AMC, how did you feel about Shin?
Sorry. What was that one called again? Shinmu?
Shim.
Shim? Sorry. Yeah, it's not on my list. I'm trying to find it. Sorry, you have to remind me again. I was trying to look the game up when you had it.
Yeah, so it's the one where you're the little critter that you're like a little shadow creature, and you're jumping from shadow to shadow to the level. And like, you're going through this city and this world, and it all very normal situations, like people walking with their umbrellas in the rain, or a construction site as beams and girders are being moved, or in traffic on a street. And you're looking at the shadows as your means to navigate through the terrain, because you can only live in the shadows. I mean, it's just very thought-provoking. The art style, like I said, it's very minimalistic and monotone, and that way you can just really focus on, all right, dark areas and keep things moving. Like, it was always very interesting to me. It's good that it's finally got a release date, and that it's going to be multi-platform, and I don't have to wait for Nintendo to get theirs before I can get mine. I'm looking forward to it. Were you able to find anything and look at it?
Yeah, up? No, I remember now. Yeah, I remember it looked pretty cool. It reminded me of this episode of Bluey, where they're trying to, basically they're playing a game where they can only move through the shadows. So it's like, as the trees are swaying, they gotta move with the trees, and then as the shadows connect, then they can go from tree to tree, and they're making their way back to a certain point. And yeah, that game gave me those vibes, except like, I like the idea because, you know, people put a lot of emphasis on the shadowing and the shadow work in video games, and now this is a game that's literally focused on that, and to the point where it's now part of the game design. And so yeah, I like that idea, and I'm really curious to see what they can do with that. Be ready for the next EMA dub.
You think it's gonna be a girlfriend game?
Yeah, I definitely think it could be. This is, I believe, how they started the conference, and this game is called Little Kitty Big City.
Yes.
Yeah, the game about a little cat in a world full of distractions is coming to Nintendo Switch on May 9th, right around the corner. Little Kitty Big City lets players take control of a cat as they adventure through a bustling town, causing mischief and helping out your fellow animals. Handing out ass whoopings. Yeah, I like this game because it's like you're a kitty doing kitty shit, but it really felt like it's like the spinoff of Untitled Goose Game. Because initially, at first, I was like, oh, this is like Stray. But then, as the way the game is laid out, and especially with like the checklist of things that you could do out in the world, that was very much like what Untitled Goose Game was about. And then you can be a cat. Like, you just go out there, start stretching. At one point, you see the cat playing with the ball. And all this stuff, like, also, like, adds to the achievement. So I kind of like the idea that, like, you just interacting with the game and being a cat is enough to, you know, unlock things, or, you know, check off certain tasks that you need to do that show that you're all about being this little kitty in the big city. So yeah, I do like this. It's different from Untitled Goose Game, but you still like are mischievous. They showed one part where the cat's like walking along the atop of a wall, and it gets to a flower pot, and it like swipes the flower pot off, knocks it down, makes a crash, and you get that check mark for doing that thing. So it's still like, there's still some of that shitty animal thing going on, like on Untitled Goose Game, but then you got the cuteness of being a kitty. So I was having it. Definitely think it's a game that Marissa might like. Hey, Dale, what'd you think about Little Kitty Big City?
I'm on board 100%. The cat is adorable. I think like where this game gets me that Stray didn't is that the cat is more animated and expressive. Also, the cat does cat stuff more accurately and more fluidly. Like there was one part where the dudes were walking back and forth, and the cat just swipes at his shin to make some balls.
Yeah.
Like, yes. That's what I need out of my cat game. You know, having all the emotes, the stretching and the sleeping, knocking stuff over. Like, as long as the only thing I'm concerned with most is the actual motion of the cat while walking and sprinting. Like, I want there to be a smooth transition between the speeds, depending on how you hold the stick. Like, I want that jump to be kind of like fluid and energetic and elongated the way the cats do, and then they bunch up at the top when they land. But the big thing that's really helping to sell this experience, the kitty hats, AFC. You didn't talk about the kitty hats. They have over 40 different hats. They got like ladybugs, they got bunnies, but of course, the one I'm going for immediately and will be rocking throughout the whole experience, the shark hat.
Yes.
No doubt, definitely kitty shark hat. I was even thinking to myself, like, man, if I had a cat, I'd put hats on. So I don't know. There's something very like primal and joyous about just enjoying cats as creatures. So without having one, a game like this is going a long way. You said it, and I didn't even think about it until you said it. But yeah, this is very much in the vein of an Untitled Goose Game, except you're a little kitty in a big city. Gee, that next game.
Like you got it
Something
done.
that caught my eye. Oh, I have to talk about it. You know, I have to talk about it. This game goes by the name of Stitch, and it's a mobile game that's making its way to st to make its way to Switch. I'm gonna get tongue-tied talking about this game and the console it's coming to. Stitch is a relaxing puzzle game where you create beautiful embroidery patterns. Stitch. It was released originally on Apple devices back in 2022. The developers have explained on their official website that it developed an in-house realistic embroidery engine to help players enjoy the feel of playing with the real embroidery thread on their platform of choice. So what's going on with this is you have what are called loops, and if you've ever seen anyone do embroidery or stitching of that nature, you know that they have those circles that hold the fabric taut, and then they just embroider away until they have this beautiful image or, you know, design that they've come up with. And this game seems to digitize that whole process. And the way that it pulls it off is that it's a numbered system where you're putting the thread. So you'll just see an empty space with a bunch of like a grid, and you'll see the numbers. And as you're filling in the correct numbers, or as you're filling in the numbers with the correct amount of thread, you're gradually completing the pattern. And then at the end, of course, you get graded and all this and that. And then I think they have some additional modes where it's like, okay, now you can change it up and do the colors the way that you want to do them and all that. I personally, when I saw this, number one, it's gorgeous. It looks very good. It's very rich, very detailed, and it looks to be a virtual representation of the process of embroidering while still being an entertaining game. Like I immediately got feelings of Minesweeper, where you're getting accustomed to reading these numbers and kind of knowing what they mean or suggest about how you're supposed to interact with the map in order to, you know, properly navigate it and complete the puzzle. So with Stitch, this is cool. And I think that it needs to get out to the stitching and embroidery community, because I think if it can circulate among those people, I think they would be ecstatic about it and might even be persuaded to purchase consoles to play this, or just get it on their phone where it's already available. But having options is awesome too. AMC, you think you're getting down?
Yeah, it looked interesting. Kind of gave me like Sudoku vibes, and so because of that, I was completely like that and like Minesweeper. So I was having it. I'm curious to see like how much of a puzzle aspect there is to it, as opposed to like you're revealing this cool image. But I like that what also got me is the continued support. I like that it's potentially a live service game, so people can continue to play this game for years to come, as long as they're paying money. I like what they have going on. It looks kind of cool, and I am interested to see like how creative people will be able to get. Like, that's definitely seems like one of those games that if they continue to, you know, support it and then eventually just open it up, that you can get some pretty cool creation stuff going on there. I'm interested, if anything, as far as the evolution that this game could possibly have. Got another game, A-Dub. This is a kind of excited, but we shall see, because of the end of the description. So this one being, we got Ninja Turtles game, A-Dub, coming to the Switch. We got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Splintered Fate. It is a timed exclusive. So let's see, Super Evil Megacorps roguelike action game that blends Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles combat with the run-based format of games like Hades is coming to Nintendo Switch as a timed exclusive in July. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splinter Fate, and this is why I'm a little hesitant about this game, was previously released on Apple Arcade. So this is a game that was a mobile game that is making its way to console. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a bad game. Didn't look terrible. I do like the idea of a roguelike Ninja Turtles style of game that has my interest, to see like how that will change up in the different runs you can play with the homies. So it's definitely appealing to a younger audience. Get them young. Ada, what did you think about this game when you saw it?
I mean, I think it's cool that it's out there and that it's coming to consoles. I don't think it's anything that I would personally get down with. And it's mostly down to just like the overall quality and the way that it moves. Like, it seems to be on point with how it's moving. I don't know. It just looks a little choppy and not smooth to me. And that doesn't grab me. So I don't know anything about like the content of the game, but it looks cool. And it's dope for people, especially fans of Ninja Turtles. You know, you got another one, so you can get down any way you want, more ways than ever. But for me personally, it's not grabbing my attention.
All right, Adele, was there anything else that caught your attention?
Caught my attention. I mean, there were a couple, but they were already announced games, kind of like Shim. Of course, there was Europa, which is the game where you're playing as the little magic boy. I think he's an android. And, you know, I got a soft spot for magical children just making their way through the world any way that they can. And, yeah, you're flying across the surface of Europa. I have no idea why or what the end goal is, but just that freedom of flight in that beautiful, whimsical environment. That's the kind of stuff I'm down for. Reminds me a bit of Journey. And just other kind of peaceful games where you're not necessarily murdering everything that moves every 4.5 minutes. So yeah, Europa looks cool. And then another one that I've seen already, but it's on here. Where'd you go? Oh, well, that was kind of like another Crab's Treasure. We talked about that one earlier, but hey, it's coming to the Switch. It's launching on April 25th. It's also coming to PC and Xbox at the same time. So, yeah, we're going to be able to get down. AMC, do you have any more from this list?
No, not really. I mean, as you said, things are already mentioned. Cat Quest 3 still looks like it's going to be the shit. Yeah, that would be the other one. But nothing else. I mean, everything else looked dope. Do you have anything else as far as this event goes, Ada?
Well, I'm all tapped out. However, we got some folks. They got some input. They got some notes. I got some criticism, some critiques. We got troll of the week, troll of the
Troll of the
week,
week.
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 week,
Troll
week,
of the week,
week,
week, week,
week,
week.
week, week, week. We got troll of the week. So they're coming sideways at the Nintendo Indie Showcase. And if the name didn't already give it away, this would be a showcase that is about indie games. If you didn't come for what's on display, then why did you come? First troll says, "Ooh, we a bunch of junk." Next troll says, "I'm a Nintendo fanboy, and this was bad." This is like six A's, five. Next troll, it's a little narration, so go with me. It's not me talking about myself, it's the troll talking about themselves. My reaction: "Oh, did this happen already? Why is no one talking about it? Oh, I see." Next troll says, "I actually like the Nindies. It's their regular directs that always suck." Turn a positive into a negative. I mean, that's the troll's way.
That
Next troll
backhanded.
says, "Nintendo." Yeah, that backhanded compliment. Oh, man. Next troll says, "Nintendo is kind of losing my interest lately, and I'm increasingly concerned the Switch 2 is going to be a dud." Indies, yawn. Just put out Tears of the Kingdom. Losing my interest lately. Next troll and last troll says, "That was probably the worst indie direct yet." I don't know if I can keep doing it week after week, AFC. Yes, I don't know what to say to him. I don't know what to say to him. It's saw a handful of some pretty cool, very chill, relaxed games. You know, it's different new ideas. Remember when everybody wanted originality and innovation? Like, you got a game, got another game where you're playing as a cat, but different. Got a game where you're playing as a shadow, hopping through the shadows. So I think there's another game coming out like that that's action oriented. And it's the ideas are there, the originality's there. And these showcases are for the purpose of putting it in front of your eyes. I can understand if people don't necessarily find all the ideas interesting, but to write it all off is just junk and, you know, and yawn. It's, you're not helping. You think you're helping, but you're not helping. It's like we were talking about it in the pre-show, how people constantly remark of, "Oh, single player games are the best, and you company shouldn't turn their back on single player. That's where the money is." But every new single player game that comes out, suddenly it's, "Oh, the main character's not hot. Oh, the writing. Oh, there's monetization." And then these single player games flop or somehow, against the odds, manage to succeed anyway. But just you say you want one thing, then we spend weeks and weeks dealing with people hating on the thing that they say they want, even when it's the way they say they want it. It never stops. It's like, what's really going on? And what are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to really get out of the industry? Because all we keep telling them is that we want them to make stuff, but then when they make that stuff, we don't want it. It's just weird. AMC, you got anything? You got some input?
Nah, I mean, it's the same shit. It's like what you're saying. It's they complain. Everybody's like, "Oh, I guess problem is all this the triple A." And now when we get to the indie showcase, it's like, "Why aren't these games triple A?" That's all I want to
Just
play.
spent what the past year or two, maybe even this whole generation, complaining about AAA games. They're all samey and unimaginative.
Now we got
And
kitty games, we got all the shit.
got
And people
Shadow
just,
Games, got new Steam World coming out,
we got so much going on.
got roguelikes, got Metroidvanias, got two Prince of Persias coming within a year. One already out, already great. People still can't give Ubisoft credit.
So I don't really have much to say. These people are, they're all full of shit. They can go to hell. As far as I'm concerned, they'd troll of the week. Yeah.
Troll of the week.
Troll of the week.
Troll of the week.
Troll of the week. Do you have quick hits? We'll take a break if you want to, or we could close it out.
I don't think I have anything left unless you want to talk more about Fallout or just bring up like a internet question.
You want to do an internet question? Yeah, we can end with an internet question.
I'm done. Let's do an internet question.
We'll do a quick internet question. All right, we'll be right back. Yeah. All right, we are back, A-Dub. Yes, we're back with our final comment question. What do we got here, A-Dub?
All right, so I've been perusing the message boards, and I picked out one I think we can appropriately address. This thread is entitled, "Anyone feel there's a lack of equipment in the gaming world right now?" The substance of the thread goes as follows. I felt so much buzz and excitement last year. We had big releases that really drove home excitement and buzz. This year, it's been kind of dead. I'm not saying there hasn't been great releases, because there has, but nothing on the scale of Tears of the Kingdom, Resident Evil 4, or Mortal Kombat, etc. Sony has been so quiet this year. I miss big first party games from them. I hope in May and June there will be some exciting announcements. AMC, what's up with your excitement level right now?
Mine is totally fine. I mean, the way I look at it too is like, last year was so insane that there are just so many games that, like, I'm still catching up on all of that. But yeah, like, it's, I feel like people are enjoying this year. Like, it's when we got, so if we're just talking about just this year alone, or we're talking about like just gaming right now in general?
This year coming off the heels of last year.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's say at in the gaming world right now.
Yeah, at this point last year, I don't think we were really going too, like, I think people were thinking about what happened last fall and thinking that's how the entire year was. Mid-year yeah. point, there's some pretty good games. Yeah, there's some pretty good games that had come out by this point. But really, like, it was right when we hit around, like, the end of summer is, like, when it just was, like, bang, 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 bang. Like, just so many games were coming out. Like, I have to pull up, like, the actual list. But, yeah, like I think it was like Dead Space was the big one early on in the year. I'm pretty sure something else came out early last year. And then
when did Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, I'm not sure. When did like Remnant 2 come out? I remember that was kind of like took people somewhat by surprise as far as like how good it ended up actually being.
Remnant 2 was July.
So that was even July. So we're still in April. Yeah, I'm not sure what really.
Mortal Kombat 1 was September.
Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, Hogwarts Legacy. That was February.
Yeah, so that would have been the big game that came out up till this point. So yeah, it wasn't like it was really like
best-selling game of 2023.
Yeah, so it wasn't like we were just getting games weekly at that point. Like it was once fall came was when every week a big game was coming out, and it just got to a point where it was actually uncontrollable. How many good games were they're coming out week to week to week. And so people were saying like this year at this point doesn't compare to last year at this point. I think that's you're not really putting things in a proper perspective. But yeah, if you really think about it, you have all those great games that you possibly didn't play all the way through from the end of last year, because Baldur's Gate would probably take you half a year alone to just try to beat. Then you got all those other games on top of that. Alan Wake 2, you got Immortals of Avium. Mm-hmm. We got Starfield. We got so many other games. You got Call of Duty. So yeah, there are so many games that came out to one go back and play and probably still beat. Then on top of that, you got Helldivers, you got your live service games, you got Overwatch still going. Yeah, and then people playing Dragon Dogma 2,
still going.
People enjoying Dragon's Dogma 2 right now. So yeah, it's a, what'd you say?
Or trying to.
Yeah, people getting back into Fallout. Like it's, yeah, it's like there's a little bit, there's Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Every Fallout.
Yeah, Final Fantasy Rebirth came out and to incredible ratings and reviews. So I mean, no, there's been a ton of great games that have come out this year so far, and as I said, there are a ton of great games that just came out as last year is ending. So you also have all of those to still go back to and play. So I feel like we're in a great place right now. It's there's just so much going on that you really could really just go wherever you want and enjoy that. And that's I think that's the best place in gaming when there's variety, not when there's just one game. And it's the only game that everybody's talking about, and it's the only game that matters, blah, 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 blah. To the point where everything else gets glossed over. Like, I like it when we have a bunch to talk about, and you can kind of just get your kicks wherever you want to go. And so, yeah, I think that's why we're in a great place. What do you think about that, Ada? Where do you think we are?
I mean, I'm plenty excited, man. We just got Helldivers, so that's awesome. We continue to get new seasons and new content for the rotation of live service games. We got new season of Diablo 4 coming. We got new season of Overwatch already. Helldivers constantly dropping new content, new war bonds, new balance tweaks in order to just keep that war story going. We got Star Wars Outlaws with a firm August release date, so I'm looking forward to that. And then, we're getting the games that were console exclusives coming over to other platforms. For instance, Dave the Diver, we just got that. The Nintendo Indie World Showcase showed off a handful of games that are going from, either mobile origins or console exclusive origins to being multi-platform. We don't even know what we're going to see in the summer showcase that's going to show us how the rest of the year is going to be shaped. And like, people also tend to forget that 2023 was built up of a lot of 2022 games that got delayed into that following year. So like, 2023 wasn't even supposed to be as stacked as it was, and everybody just stood on their bases and waited to be bad at home. And some made it, some didn't. We won't name names. However, 2024 doesn't seem to have a lot of games that were delayed from last year, so it's largely standing on its own. And even so, we got Stellar Blade next week, Fallout 4 Upgrade next week. I don't know, there's plenty for me to be excited about. All I really needed was Star Wars Outlaw in order to be as excited as I need to be. Like, I'm not the kind of person that lives from release to release, where I'm only as entertained as often as a new game is out. Like, I'm still chewing on my PS4 backlog. I'm still looking for mobile games that I find agreeable to my system. I'm messing around with the Xbox every so often. There's just too much stuff to play. Like, people want more. It's great that we're getting such high quality stuff and at such volume. But at the same token, it's like, if you don't have a backlog of games to play at this point that are just hitters, like, what's going on with your preferences and your buying habits? Like, or maybe you play through everything and it's like, where do you find the time? I don't understand how anybody cannot have excitement for the gaming world right now, quote unquote, because there's a lot happening on every level, on every platform, all the time. So it's not like there's just no games in 2024. We're getting games almost at a pretty regular interval. Like, the only thing so far that's different between 2023 and 2024 is that the games that we're getting now don't carry the same degree of hype that all the games carried last year. Like, last year, every game was, oh, we're talking about this now. And that's also for better or worse, because some, like, is the tradition and the conditioning to do now is like, a lot of the games from last year had those controversies and things that didn't necessarily deal with the games themselves that managed to be the talking points around the game, and why people think the games are going to fail, and why you need to boycott, and not going into all of it. But these games, I mean, Star Wars Outlaw is the only one that's carrying the kind of like hype and this discussion, for better or worse, that most of the games from last year were carrying. So maybe that's why people think the excitement's not there, but hey, maybe people are just finally calming down and starting to enjoy the games. I would like to be optimistic and believe that, but whatever, as long as all, maybe the excitement isn't so great because the quality of the excitement is just not there anymore. Like, if people want to be excited and genuinely looking forward to stuff, hey, I'm there all day for it. But if this modern interpretation of excitement, where it's nitpicking and hunting for sociopolitical issues to argue about, is the rule of the day, then you could count me out. I'll just stay here thumbing through my backlog, trying to figure out what I'm going to try to complete so I can feel a little more accomplished in my gaming career.
You got anything else before we get out of here, Ado?
That's it, my friend.
Oh, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is Ado. We are Control Issues. Thanks for playing. Suckers!